Hello and welcome to day five of the WFH's World Congress in Glasgow, Scotland, brought to you by the Bloodstream Podcast. I'm host and founder, Patrick James Lynch, and we are done. It's over, sort of. The 2018 World Congress basically concluded at lunch today with Pipers, who opened the whole thing. Well, they closed it as well. At just around lunchtime, so there was a morning plenary, some of the morning rotations, but then the two afternoon rotations that we'd been accustomed to are not on the agenda today. So there's some offshoot meetings going on. I saw something from the probe study, patient-reported outcomes, better something. I forget what probe stands for, but there are some offshoot meetings now taking place. As there were, of course, there were trainings in the meetings ahead of the Congress. We only do this once every 2 years. So, you know, different committees, organizations, programs, initiatives, et cetera, making use of the time together. But another beautiful day was our backdrop for the final day, which I'll just run through here. Again, as always, there was the World Congress Daily, which came out this morning. I recommend you take a look at the link in the program notes if you are interested in that. It is a great resource with pieces that recap. You know, I had a link ready that I was going to read and sound smart, and now my internet's down in my little dorm room hotel. The best laid plans. Some real problems. Some really big problems that I want you to feel for me on here. All right, well, you get the point about the World Congress Daily. I think you should check it out. Dr. Pipe from Michigan, who listeners of this podcast will know and engaged members of the community will generally know, the chair of MASAC, one of our preeminent hematologists, he opened this morning talking about bioengineering, which is another name for genetic engineering, which is another way to talk about gene therapy. But bioengineered molecules for hemophilia, their role and their challenges. He basically made the case that when there is an evolved understanding of basic science insights, it informs the development of even better treatments for hemophilia. And in his view, bioengineered factor 8 and factor 9 are the keys to unlocking the full potential of gene therapy. He acknowledged the challenges and the known unknowns about novel therapies and investigative therapies for hemophilia, but he also identified that clinicians and the community has had success at addressing those challenges during the recombinant era, and he's confident that we'll be able to do the same in the bioengineering era. Dr. Johannes Oldenburg, director of a care center in Germany, he presented also on the subject of genetic testing and genotyping was a bit more of his presentation. He talked about My Life, Our Future, the initiative that NHF and others launched a few years back on genotyping for the community. And he emphasized the value of genetic testing for patients for things such as establishing a correct diagnosis, understanding the patient's clinical presentation or articulation of the disease, the phenotype, as we refer to it. It allows for family counseling and et cetera. Dr. Amy Shapiro, another, again, it's a who's who. It's a who's who here at World Congress. Dr. Amy Shapiro, who is also an award recipient this year, she did a presentation on hemophilia across all stages of life. And during that presentation, she made the point that a 1% factor level increase reduces the risk, the bleeding risk, by 18%. Now, there's obviously a ceiling on that, because if you have 99% factor levels, adding it 1% to get to 100 isn't going to decrease your risk of bleeding by 18%. So there's obviously a ceiling. However, for a long time, keeping factor troughs, the basement, keeping the troughs above 1%, at or above, that has been the goal. And we talk about 1% globally as well, but there's been a lot of talk at the meeting about adjusting that goal to 4%. And if you consider this data from Amy, it makes that case for 4% all the stronger. She also identified some of the emerging issues in hemophilia, including that 65% of patients are vitamin D deficient, which increases the likelihood of osteoporosis. So there's a challenge when we think about aging with hemophilia and problematic comorbidities. 65% of patients being vitamin D deficiency is pretty common, and I've heard it, you know, kind of spoken about somewhat reductively as not necessarily being so alarming. Nonetheless, if you have hemophilia, why are you trying to increase your chances for osteoporosis? Yeah. And managing, I jumped ahead in my notes. Where are we? And obesity. Yeah, of course. Another giant comorbidity. And of course, on her slide, it's like, yellow is it's not great. Orange is it's getting worse. Darker oranges, look out. Red is problem. Of course, the United States is just one big fat red area on the obesity chart. I don't like that. So that's obviously a major problem as well. And you know that, I don't want to be too tangential, but something that I've been thinking about during this Congress when hearing up about people struggling to manage finances and the financial stress that bleeding disorders place, people not understanding their total health well enough, not taking care of things like preventing obesity or addressing vitamin D deficiency, the lack of stretching, strengthening, and muscle building, the need for various kinds of psychosocial support. I also think that we just don't do a great job societally, speciesally, of addressing some of these issues. So when you have well-attended meetings and community organizations with people of vested interests rallying around needs particular to, say, von Willebrand disease, well, while there, of course, von Willebrand disease is going to further complicate your predisposition to depression, or is going to be particularly complicated when also you stink at managing money and you now have to think about your work-life balance a little differently. There's just kind of some pretty obvious problem spots. And yet, if you don't have good resources on how to manage your money, or you don't have good resources on how to manage your depression, then you come to your von Willebrand disease thing and you're like, we got to do this too. And that's not untrue. It's not like it's some other organization's responsibility. But I don't know. It just, I appreciate the complexity of, you know, there was a presentation later in the day on quality of life as well, and the comprehensive nature of life and of assessing quality of life. And it's just tricky. It's really tricky. How much can we account for all of the additional complications, amplified complications that occur when you have a bleeding disorder, and how much of our time should be spent on, you know, the bleeding disorder in and of itself. In a clinical setting, obviously, you know, Dr. Pipe is not necessarily spending too much time as a clinician on something like the interaction between depression and hemophilia, unless that's a particular area of interest that he's studying, right? And a social worker will have some level of, I don't know, it's just, I'm being repetitive here, but it's something that's been on my mind throughout this Congress, because what those particular additional needs are obviously a bit different. They're different state to state within the U.S., and they're different country to country around the world. So it's just kind of interesting, just kind of complex considerations when thinking about our global community and the total comprehensive needs. Then there were some sessions on aging well, optimizing bleeding prevention. There were clinical sessions on current and future lab issues related to factor deficiencies and von Willebrand disease, and a clinician session on inhibitor management. There were two multidisciplinary sessions at the end of the morning, one on managing sexual identity and one on continuity of quality of life. And then that was it. The piper said it's lunch, and that's that. I did mention that the probes, so what's still going on? I mentioned it's over, sorta. There is that probe study meeting. I think maybe it's over now, happening now-ish, or we're in the mid-afternoon here on Thursday, day five. There's a farewell dinner tonight that I'll be attending. And I think there's, then tomorrow, and maybe through the weekend, I don't have great clarity on this, and I'm not gonna, my internet's down, so I can't really bring it up anyway. But the General Assembly convenes. So the board members of the WFH get together. I'm sure they have their agenda and itinerary. What I'm aware, one of the big things I'm aware happens during these GA meetings is that they vote on new board members. I also know that I heard people talking about it's a competitive year, but I don't know what that means. I don't really know who's running or how any of that works. Full disclosure, I'm interested in all of that. So I was curious to know if I could attend the General Assembly. Which I think was maybe possible, but fun fact, my wife and I recently just bought a house, and we're moving from our apartment to our house, and that's been happening while I've been here. Oh, someone's knocking on my door. Oh, this is very exciting. Well, I'm just going to ignore them and let them knock. because I can't stop. Once this starts, I just can't stop it. It just goes. That's it. So I'm not, so that's happening. But I have to go home and participate in that. And then come tomorrow, I will be heading back home. So I'm not going to go to the GA so that I can move my house. All right, I'm going to see what this person's talking about. Hold on. Okay, sorry about that. We just had to pause for a second. So I will not be attending the General Assembly, or I didn't ask for permission to observe that, as I will not be here. I'm going to go move. I'm going to go help my wife move us into our house, which is like another really exciting thing that's been happening on the other side of the world that I am excited to re-engage with. And then in June 18th, I think, the third Monday in June, we'll be back to our traditional Bloodstream podcast schedule. And for that episode, I'm going to look through the various articles and press releases and analysis and blogs that come out between now and then on the World Congress, so that for the comments segment of the June episode of Bloodstream, I can give you a better assessment of kind of what the big takeaways were once there's a little time for people to have processed and communicated about that. So keep an eye out for June. If you're not a subscriber to the Bloodstream podcast, please do that. Please subscribe. Use this moment now to subscribe so that you can stick around and join my wife Natalie and I and our great guests that we have on this. Our May episode featured Jonathan James, the founder of Hope for Hemophilia in Louisiana, and India's Nabila Husseini in a piece about her experience as a woman with a bleeding disorder in a developing country, in India specifically. Our April episode featured an interview with FDNY Lieutenant and FEMA volunteer, Hemo Dad extraordinaire Bill Petsakos from New York City, along with Dr. Stephen Pipe, talking with me about Hemlibra and the recently reported patient deaths. That's a conversation I've gotten a lot of great feedback on. So we're doing some really cool stuff here at Bloodstream. Each episode's just an hour, give or take 10 minutes, It's usually a little longer, once a month. But we think a lot about what we give you with that 1 hour a month. And then Chris Bombardier, whose name has come up to me about 154,000 times during this Congress. He is the host. Oh, someone in Scotland is operating a car. He is the host of our Ask the Expert podcast. Our most recent episode there features PT Sharon Funk talking about physical therapy and how that's evolved in our community over the last couple of decades throughout her career, which is an interesting subject. And we have the Powering Through podcast, live panel conversations on obstacles, challenges, and what it takes to overcome. We put out one of those each month. So head on over to bloodstreammedia.com. You'll see the various podcasts, and you can click on the links to subscribe. You can subscribe. You can also just find them if you want on iTunes, or if you use Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher. We have them in the places you generally go looking for podcasts, so just look them up. The Bloodstream Podcast, Powering Through Podcast, Ask the Expert Podcast. Really proud of these resources. I also would like to know if this was valuable to you. I've gotten some good feedback, so I don't mean to diminish that. Thank you to those who have submitted feedback, but I would love more. I would love to know ideas that you have on if we were to do this for, say, NHF's Bleeding Disorders Conference later this year, what you might look for, because again, as we talked about early on, this was a trial balloon of daily recaps to see if it was something worth building on. So the more feedback I get, the more informed of a decision we'll be able to make. And I think that's about it. I'm going to be making an announcement here momentarily about a new Believe Limited program that's probably going to coincide with when this episode actually comes out. So take a look at social media for that. And then in 2020. The meeting will be held. The next World Congress will be held in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, June 14th through 17th, 2020, in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, which feels very far away, but I'm sure. Oh, there's another one. Okay, the sirens are going. I haven't heard any sirens at all, actually, for the week we've been. What an interesting week. It's been beautiful, no rain, no sirens. I don't know if that's interesting or not, but I'm just realizing that now. I haven't really heard sirens. 2020 Malaysia. Yeah. So June 18th, our next episode will be out. I gave you the other podcast to check out. Stop the Bleeding comes out June 5th. I'm going to announce this other Believe program here momentarily. So still a lot going on with Believe. And of course, as always, we'll be keeping the global perspective a meaningful part of everything we do. But as much as I kind of don't want to say goodbye, because it means this is over, it's time to say goodbye. So thank you for listening. I appreciate your time, and I appreciate your investment in this podcast. I hope it was valuable for you. I hope that you felt like you were somewhat connected to what was happening here at the Congress and some of the energy and information that came out of it. I hope you enjoyed that wild conversation with Lawrence. And until next time, take self-care of yourself. Talk to you next month.